Call to order the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council today, Monday, March 4th. Good to see everybody here. Appreciate you being here. Item number two of our published agenda is approval of minutes from December 4th.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item three is public comment. If you have a public comment to make, please come forward, and our timekeeper right here will let you know when your 2.5 minutes are up.
Morning, Mr. Mayor, Council. My name is Philip Berlinski. I reside at 210 Hadrill Street, Mount Pleasant. I'm president of the Boatyard Homeowners Association on Shem Creek, which consists of all the homes basically on Shem Creek across from the Mount Pleasant docks. Many years ago, before the docks were even constructed, we were consulted and asked to give comment about our position on those docks. And we were assured at that time that this was, you know, just for foot traffic, for people that want to walk out and take a look at the creek, and that there would be no commercial businesses conducted on the Shem Creek docks. There was one exception. They said at one point they might allow some shrimp boats to moor there for a period of time. We understood that, and that's to maintain the ambiance and appeal of Shem Creek, of course. However, it's come to my attention that there's someone that has made a petition requesting that Mount Pleasant allow them to have a dedicated space for their own taxi service, water transport service, and we vehemently object to that for several reasons. First of all, of course, I don't believe it's appropriate for us to dedicate any public docks to any private business, and we don't know, you know, how to what extent that would be used, how much it would be used. And the problem with that is, of course, if we allow that for one business, then it opens the floodgates. Every other business that wants to conduct business on Shem Creek docks will then seek a permit to do so, and if we fail to allow them a permit, then the town of Mount Pleasant is probably going to get sued, which we don't want to see either. As part of the petition, it was suggested that this transport service would help alleviate some DUIs in Shem Creek, which speaks volumes to me as well, that this would be a big drunk fest of people walking down the Shem Creek docks and maybe falling off the docks, subjecting the Mount Pleasant, you know, of course, to more liability. So for all those reasons, I just don't see how it would be possible that Mount Pleasant would allow such a thing. And it's our position that that should never be allowed. Thank you.
Next, please. Please give the name and address. 2.5 minutes.
Morning. My name is Blaze Barber. I live at 517 Wilden Street with my husband, Phil, and our 18-month-old daughter. We moved to the Old Village in early 2020 from downtown, looking forward to living in, you know, a beautiful, historic, quiet cul-de-sac that was most importantly family-friendly. Just in the past few years, we've noticed a disintegration in the safety on Wilden Street for a variety of reasons, of which y'all are already aware. For instance, Wilden Street is now used as an alternate route when Coleman is backed up. We are now a tourist location. You used to not come to the Old Village unless you were going to it for a specific reason to enjoy the sort of quiet and solitude of it. Now it's all Ubers, people hopping in their golf carts from Shem Creek. We have the new Seabird Inn being developed with, I saw the town approved plans are 23 rooms, a 70-seat restaurant, and an event space. Without things like sidewalks, curbs, designated crossing areas, traffic control, the two speed bumps in front of my house, which are in front of a playground on Wilden Street, are just used by cars to catch air. No one uses that playground because it's not safe. When we are pushing our stroller with the dog, we turn the corner as fast as we can. When I'm trying to get from my side of Wilden Street to the other to go get a cup of coffee with the stroller, we have to carefully time crossing because there's no sidewalk on the left, no sidewalk on the right. So I'm here to say that we're heartened that you are taking action on the Wildin streetscape improvement concept, because these issues are only going to get worse with another hotel built just a few yards off of a historic residential neighborhood. We're asking you to take all options into consideration because we need help. People are looking to leave the neighborhood. It's not safe for our children anymore. And we're not able to take advantage of the beautiful, you know, family-friendly facilities that we have, like walking to the harbor and having playgrounds, especially in between two churches and two church preschools. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, please. Name, address, 2.5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Joe Schubert. I live at 435 Wildin Street, and I understand today's agenda you have some discussions about the improvements that might be done on Wildin Street. I want to just at least tell you about the history I've had with this. I addressed this with a previous council member, and from Hibben Street to Venning Street on the harbor side, there is either an asphalt, quote-unquote, sidewalk or dirt. On the other side of the road, there's sidewalk. My next-door neighbors on the corner has sidewalk on Wildin as it turns around onto Venning. And so he said, you need to call the highway department because I called here first. And the gentleman told me I needed to call the highway department because that's their property. So I called the highway department, a number he gave me. I then spoke to someone there who said, well, that's a really small project. We don't take care of that. So I was given another number at the county. He said, we have a special fund at the county. We give them money to do these little projects because we can't do it. So I called the county, and they said, yeah, that's exactly what this fund is for. That sounds like exactly what it's done. But you're going to have to go back to the town and get permission because they're going to maintain it. And the point of all this is if you come out there and look at it, it's really dangerous. I mean, it's not a smooth surface. There's all kinds of irregularities there. And there's some washouts where a whole foot could go down in it. And I just think that if you've got plans to clean up the entrance of Wildin, I would really like to address that. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Philip Barber. I live at 517 Wildin with my wife, Blaze, and she's covered most of our concerns. I just wanted to very briefly, I guess, emphasize one. I haven't actually been able to get a copy or see the improvement plan. So if some of this is already in the improvement plans, that's great. I think we really need to have curbs protecting the sidewalks. It's very difficult to walk in the neighborhood because you have cars parked on the sidewalks. You know, it's just a flat surface and it just goes right over. Cars instinctively want to get out of the road when they park, so they park on the sidewalk. And that also damages the sidewalks over time. And if you go through the neighborhood, you'll see a lot of broken concrete where there's sidewalks. So it would be really great to curb the sidewalks to keep cars off of the sidewalks. And I don't know if it's possible, but it would be really great to explore permitting parking. I know downtown, for example, you know, you have stickers and there are, you know, permits to park in different neighborhoods based on where you live. Right now, we just have open season. You could wake up one day and there could be 20 cars parked in front of your house, on the sidewalk in front of your house. And I think it would be really great to explore some sort of permitting option like they do in Charleston to protect the neighborhood and also to, I guess, organize the commercial parking and kind of decide exactly where people who are visiting commercial establishments, where they're intended to park and plan. This is where they park. This is where residents park, rather than have residents compete with commercial establishments to park in front of their own homes. Thank you.
Hand this to the clerk, please. To the clerk. Thank you.
Good morning, George Freeman, 1450 Bowen Road, president of the CAGE organization. I spoke before you at the retreat about the Mount Pleasant Way and with respect to Rifle Range Road. And I won't drag you through the whole thing again, but since I didn't have any photos at the time, and that's just one package for the whole thing about what I'm talking about. Since they say a picture is worth about 1,000 words, I think I'd give you some pictures about what I was talking about with the section between Denning Road and Olipon Connected Way. The purpose behind it is that to help the residents in those areas be able to get to the businesses in that area. So I have the red markers on to show that where there is connection or there is a possibility of connection where those communities can get to those locations. But I'm also here to say that I cycle, and I do cycle along the existing path that you have north and south right now along Watermark, Hungry Neck. I was waiting for you to build a section between 6 Mile and Hamlin Road, because then I'll be able to ride all the way to Portier Bluff from Bowman Road without getting on 17 or Rifle Range Road. Again, I'm not here to say I'm against bike path. I'm just saying we're against the disrupting Rifle Range Road. The path that you have already works fine. I use it all the time. The only thing it does is that you need to do some improvements on it. I see you have a request in to have some work done on Hungry Neck. It'd just be great for you to extend it all the way down to where you have to Lowe's, and that would complete that section. And when you finish between 6 Mile and Hamlin Road, I'll be able to ride from my house all the way to Portier Bluff with no problem. The Cage organization has property on Hungry Neck in the Billis Wales area. I'm the president. It'd be great for me to be able to cycle to that property right from my house. And like I say, I'm not against the bike path in Mount Pleasant, just against Rifle Range Road. The path that you have already works fine. All you have to do is add Chuck Dolly to it, and people could be able to ride from the foot of the bridge all the way to Portier Bluff. Thank you.
Next, please.
Hi, I'm Mike Hughes at 1045 Wharf Indigo Place. Just wanted to thank Town Council, Mayor Haney, Brad, for putting Wharf Indigo on the agenda today. We really appreciate that, and the potential for improved connectivity between the neighborhoods and taking the road as is. So just want to express our thanks.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Russell Flessinger, and I have lived at 123 Hibben Street in the Old Village for 5 years now. My husband and I moved to Mount Pleasant from downtown Charleston to escape the bustling streets of traffic and tourists in favor of a quieter neighborhood where our children could play, and we wouldn't feel as though we were living in an attraction. We have not once regretted our move and absolutely love living in Mount Pleasant. As a resident of the Old Village, I'm here today now to express my concerns about the intersection of Hibben and Wilden Street. With the approval of the Seabird Inn, I fear that this intersection will become far busier than before, and with that, increase the chances for even more accidents. I've witnessed many car accidents and even more close calls, including with pedestrians. We desperately need a four-way stop or a light, proper curbs and sidewalks. There are also 2 churches within 1/3 of a mile from this intersection where children attend preschool, mine included. Crossing guards would be another effective strategy in ensuring their safety. I'm also concerned about the influx of employees needed to run the Seabird Inn and where they will be parking. Perhaps residential stickers would be necessary to solve this impending issue. Thank you for considering my comments. Look forward to hearing the ways in which we'll improve this intersection. Thank you.
Next, please.
Good morning. My name is Christy Hollins, and I live at 196 Hibben Street in the Old Village. I've lived there for the past 8 years. The last time I stood before you was in 2019, when I voiced my fears and concerns for the previous hotel project, located at the intersection of Hibben and Wilden Street. I appreciate what the Post House is doing in its current location, but I am distressed regarding the current plan for the Seabird Inn. I have reached out to the town in July of 2023 to Gary Ponder, an engineer technician for the town, to already voice the sincere need for more traffic calming measures in the Old Village. I was told that, quote, December 2019, staff was directed to hold all traffic calming applications for the Old Village, Old Mount Pleasant area, unquote. Is that still in place? Is that why nothing has been done regarding the dangerous Hibben and Wilden Street intersection? If so, that absolutely blows my mind, and it sounds extremely negligent. It was explained to me that the hold was due to many failed applications not meeting the criteria for approval, and then a list of criteria was provided to me. I'm not going to waste time going over the 8 specifications for a stop sign. I will, however, point out that perhaps if so many taxpaying citizens in the neighborhood are requesting traffic calming measures, but it's the antiquated criteria from keeping their families and loved ones safe, perhaps some change is in order. I also want to point out that there's no room for the additional parking that a nice hotel, restaurant, and event space will require. From the tourists to the Chim Creekers to fans of Outer Banks to the builders and the developers, it's not the same sleeping historic home it once was. And we cannot safely accommodate the overflow parking from a project of this scale. I've seen way too many close calls of traffic collisions and pedestrian-involved accidents over the years to not feel the extreme need to stand before you and tell you we need less big development and more traffic safety for my family and for those. Thank you.
Next, please.
Good morning. I'm Christine Fritz-Lloyd. I live at 135 Hibben Street. I'm coming here today because I'm also concerned about the increased traffic at the corner of Wilden and Hibben. As a mother of 4 young children, I find it really sad that I cannot trust my 9-year-old to walk to the Village Library, which is 2 blocks from my house. Why can I not trust that? It's that intersection. People are flying through. There's no measure to slow them down. And even when she gets there, there's no way to actually safely get from Hibben to the library or the playground because there's no sidewalks. Or there's sidewalks that sort of disappear. Are there sidewalks with, as mentioned, holes? My 7-year-old son has cerebral palsy and a visual impairment. When we walk those 2 blocks, I have 4 kids, so it's quite a spectacle. I'm nervous. I usually take a second adult with me because he needs his hand held, and I have to navigate and say out loud what he is coming upon. Oh, here's a sidewalk, here's a hole you need to step over, because it's really treacherous. In addition, I do think we really need a 4-way stop at that intersection. I every day dread driving from my house to Coleman because you can't see the traffic coming. There's a big grand oak that literally gives you a blind spot once you look left, right, left. And I myself have almost hit many people, and it's just not safe. So with this increased foot traffic and car traffic that's coming with this hotel, we really need to put in measures. And I know it's a complicated issue, and the state might say it's yours and it's them. I know it's a lot of that. But I think this is an opportunity to fix an obvious problem. And we have 13 young children on Hibben Street, probably some more that will come in the next few years. And I want all of them to be able to get to the library and the playgrounds that exist safely. Thank you.
Next, please.
Hi, good morning. I'm Ben Tao. I'm the owner of the Pitt's House at 101 Pitt Street. I reside at 38 New Street downtown. I just wanted to have a chance to say publicly, we're also the developers of the Seabird Inn, and I will be present at any meeting. I'm fully in favor of slowing down traffic, of any sidewalk improvement. My daughter, I have a 2.5-year-old daughter who attends the Mount Pleasant Montessori around the corner. I cross that street every day. We walk from her school to the post house, and I'm fully in support of our neighbors wanting to slow traffic and mitigate risk. I'm also looking forward to working with them just like we have at the post house as it relates to noise issues, parking, and resolving their concerns. Thank you.
Next, please. Anyone else? Last call for public comment. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't sign up for that.
You can come speak. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
My name is Jody Millis, and I live at 405 Rosewilder Lane. which is an Earl's Court just off the intersection of Hibben and Wilden. And we bought this hotel for as long as we could until people say, you know, it's like too bad, so sad. I understand it's going to be there. It's even looks bigger now with the latest drawings that we saw. You have to pull into the intersection now to be able to see whether someone is coming up Wilden from the service station from that end. You have to pull out literally into the intersection to be able to see. There's a telephone pole there that basically is hard to the left. It's hard enough now to see people coming from the opposite direction. When they build the hotel, which I understand is going to come almost to the sidewalk, it's going to be even worse. That whole intersection has been a nightmare. One of my neighbors, I think, has been hit there twice, he and his wife. I've almost been hit. When you go back to where Rosewater Lane pulls out into Hibben Street, cars and vans and trucks pull right up to the intersection of, I mean, to where our lane comes out to. I've almost been hit by cars coming. You have to get out past them to be able to see. And again, it's a nightmare. It's not going to get any better. This, I don't know. I just got the email for this yesterday from a friend who told me about this meeting, so I didn't have anything prepared for it. But I don't know what the plan is to do, but I don't see it getting much better unless the scale of the hotel is smaller, and I've been told that's not going to happen. But anything y'all can do to help, it's not going to get any better. Somebody's going to get killed there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, if there's no one else, we will conclude public comments and move to agenda item 4, which is exploration of Shim Creek passenger ferry and water taxi service.
Mayor, before I get to that, if I could have about 30 seconds, I want to introduce our new staff engineer.
Sure.
That we have for the town, and I'm going to ask Sophie, she probably didn't recognize that, just to stand up so you can put a face with the name. So she started about a month ago, and she's from North Carolina, went to NC State, and we're just happy to have her working with us, and we've already got her hard at work.
Great.
Okay, so the first item, Mayor, is based upon a request by Daniel Island Ferry for consideration of operating the ferry at our dock facility at Shim Creek. As you know, that's a floating dock about 250 feet. So that request really needs to be considered based upon some of the comments you already heard in the context of perhaps a commercial operation at that location. So they've requested some basically regular service at the location. They've also requested that a portion of the dock, 50 feet, be reserved for not just them, but any taxi service that would be utilized. And I expect that just like we have with any of our other facilities, recreation, whatever it is, that if this was a consideration of the committee and council, that we would eventually enter into some sort of MOU, memorandum of understanding, for this type of action at that location.
Okay. So this came from Daniel Island Ferry.
Yes, and there is a representative from Daniel Island Ferry here if you wish to hear from them.
Okay. In the past, have we had a request like from Charleston Water Taxi or anybody like that to do this?
I'm not aware of that. That doesn't mean we haven't had a request.
Okay. All right.
Ms. Chapman, do you? All I was going to do is ask a question. During public comment, we heard that there had been a town, regulation not allowing any commercial activity on the dock. Is there a town ordinance or something that specifically prohibits that?
I'm not aware of one, no, sir, but it looks like just probably he wants to say something.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Committee. Sir, there is no regulation or ordinance prohibiting that. If you recollect, when we first opened the dock and there was reference to shrimp boats, I think the problem was more insurance. Those shrimp boats did not have, and apparently could not have, appropriate insurance to be able to utilize the dock. So that was the reason for the restriction.
Okay, thank you.
I think one of the concerns, and there are many, but a major concern, if you've ever been to a park at our free parking for our boardwalk park, it is few and far between. You almost can't get there. And we know that if we start having regular ferry service there, people are going to be parking in our dock space. I don't believe they'd be able to park at the restaurants. And if you do, it's like $40. It's a charge of $40. So there are just many, many questions about this that I think have not been answered. Brad?
You have a request, and if there's any concern that you would, if you want to ask questions or have staff come back and work with the person making the request, we can certainly do that. This is completely up to committee and council, council eventually.
I feel like what was said earlier, if we open it to one, we're going to have to open it to everyone. That would probably include every half-day inshore fishing charter. They would expect the same. And I just think if it ain't broke, don't fix it, unless we have a motion to proceed on that. Yes, sir, Ms. Brown.
You know, I don't think I'm in a position to say I support the plan or the proposal being submitted by Daniel Island Ferry, but I would not be opposed to studying the issue in some greater detail and see if it is something that would work for the town and promote connectivity, you know, throughout our region. Or like the mayor said, does it open a can of worms with respect to our parking and our dock space being available to other commercial endeavors? But I'm not opposed to refining it and learning more about what they plan or propose.
Well, in regard to even looking at this location, we have other locations that may or may not be more appropriate, I think. Not as crowded, not as restricted as this location. So if we're going to do any kind of a study to look at it, I would suggest we open it up to where something like this might be more appropriate.
All right. I don't have a motion to work with. I guess if anybody wants to study this further, they can certainly do that. There's no prohibition on that, but there's no motion for the committee to advance this. And there being none, we will move on to item number 5. Approval of fiscal year 2025 Charleston County Transportation Sales Tax Annual Allocation Projects.
Yes, sir. You see this every year, and you have a memo on the topic, and this year, based upon some carryover funding concerns and needs at the county level, they would typically put about $9 million into the allocation. It's going to be a little less this year because of cost of projects that have already been approved, escalating, and they need to completely fund those. So what you have before you is our annual submission of projects. They haven't been necessarily prioritized, but they are good projects that we can either co-fund with this funding or be fully funded by the TST. So this year it will be about $1.5 million in local paving, which we don't have a lot of local paving. We do have one this year, but in the past we haven't used that much. $1 million for intersection improvements, which doesn't go very far when considering this money is for the entire county that we're talking about, and then $300,000 for bike and ped. So there, staff has developed a list of intersection improvements, pedestrian and bicycle improvements, and a paving project. And I actually have some, so you don't just have to look at text. You can understand what we're talking about here. On number one, for intersection improvements, this would be a free flow of movement to the ramp on Long Point Road to the approach of 526. So If you're familiar with what we have on the Bell Hall, what I call the Bell Hall side, where you bypass the signal, this is the same thing, exact same design. And that would be about $620,000. We also have had requests and support this project because we do have the right-of-way for it, for a right turn at Charleston National. That project is going to be about $400,000. We would obviously have to work closely with the neighborhood to make sure their entrance features are protected, et cetera. For Bike and Ped, there's two projects. One is in a heavily pedestrian area, and that's at Oakland Moore Waterfront Park, and that we have multiple crossings in that area. Right now, they're just signed. What we would propose is we do those crossings with rectangular rapid flashing beacons, which you hear as RRFBs, which are the high-intensity flashers for pedestrian crossings. That's about $150,000. We also have a sidewalk project over on Rifle Range and Hill Road. We just call it the Whitesides Elementary project, and that's $170,000 for that. For the paving project, I haven't kept up with any of this. Here's the Charleston National. I don't have Jane here today, so we got a little bit behind. There's the Waterfront Memorial Park crossings that you can see. We have four of them. There's the Hale Road and Rifle Range sidewalk project. And this is the paving project where Mayor just mentioned the parking area, the small park we have. Instead of that being unimproved, we could actually go in there with some pervious paving and be less worried about sediment in that area and just a little bit more stability. So
it would be fully pervious paving?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We actually have pervious paving at the Trident Tech campus. That parking lot out there is pervious concrete.
So the obvious question of this, and I'm sure of interest to everybody in the room, is this does not mean that, that this is our priority list to the county for part of their funding. This does not mean that other things like item 7 on our agenda, the Wilden Street and all that, doesn't mean that we don't move forward on things and use our own funding or other sources.
That's
this
correct.
Is just one source for these projects, right?
It's yes, sir. That's exactly right. And there are projects that we feel work well with their evaluation matrix that they have to do. So they'll take our projects, run it through their matrix, and they'll rank them. So it's just really giving them several opportunities or projects so they can evaluate and then rank and probably fund one or two.
Okay. So the strategy is to match their criteria and their ranking with some that we have, and what doesn't get funded, we move on.
Yes, sir.
In our own way.
Yes, sir.
Everybody clear on that? Daniel, you're the newest member. All of this stuff. I mean, I've been on transportation since I was on council 9 years ago, and it is complicated. So that doesn't mean that these are our priorities. That means this is the priority we're giving to the council to match their funding.
Yes, sir. And typically, this project you recall, or these projects we give you, we would also be listing as CTC, but we're not really sure where that funding's going to land, so we may have to come back at a later date, or what we typically use would use anything that was not funded that you've already kind of submitted to the TST. We would submit that to the CTC.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm talking about?
I'll say all those acronyms just because I know you generally know
CTC,
them.
CTC, all of that. Yeah. Okay.
Mayor,
yes.
Having served as chairman of the CTC for a number of years and being on it and helping get it started, the idea of submitting something within the range of the available funding is the best way to go,
right?
Because you've got a much better chance of getting your projects approved. It's when communities or municipalities try to get, you know, five times more money than
right.
It's available. You don't ever get anything. So I can applaud the town staff for putting together this group.
Okay. Was that just for discussion? Do you need, it says approval.
We approve it.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
That was item five. Item six, discussion of petition to accept Wharf Indigo Place into the town roadway system. And we've had a few comments on that.
I would like to recommend approval.
Second.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve and a second. We're in discussion. Just briefly, and I know we have some citizens here, my understanding in getting a briefing on it last week is that, first of all, there's a petition that has to happen, and then there's also a survey evaluation or whatever, because we have to make sure that the road is something that we can accept, that we can maintain, and was built to standards that would, if we were building it ourselves, right, since we're becoming responsible for it, that it would be something that we could actually, we would actually feel okay about owning for the town, right, and serve the purposes of the town.
Yes, sir. There was a policy adopted by council previously. It essentially asked that the applicant produce some sort of engineering report that indicated, you know, what is this infrastructure that the town is considering taking over? What is its condition? How is it built? Does it meet standards? Those types of things. So, yes, that's the intent of the policy, is to have the applicant submit that to the town to review and then make a recommendation to an appropriate committee. And I do have a memo on this. I provided the policy itself. And we have done the very preliminary investigation, information we really already had on what do we have there as far as stormwater and what is the pavement condition, which are the two primary concerns for long-term maintenance. So I've given you that information, and I'm just here to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. And to clear things up, the motion is to approve the petition to accept Wharf Indigo Place into the town roadway system. So would you explain to us, Ms. Pagliarini, what this does?
Thank you, Mayor and committee. I don't believe this is the actual, well, I take the position, this is not the motion to actually accept it in. Right. That would be for a later time.
Yes.
And I just wanted to be fair to our citizens and to our council. Right. That due diligence will need to be performed. And then when the engineering is done, it is platted, and all of the owners affected will need to approve this. By the way, at that point, once we have that, then it can be brought back to you and to council for acceptance into the system.
And this simply approves the first step, right?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Everybody clear on that? Any further discussion?
I think this is an important roadway for the town to absorb into its system. If you go out there and drive and walk around, it's not in any different condition than the public roads in that area. And in fact, I think you would be hard-pressed to find somebody who actually knows that's a private road, although the cat's out of the bag a bit on that at this point. I think it's incredibly important for the connectivity of the neighborhoods in the area. I hope that the town is able to work with the homeowners to make sure that this condition or this survey of the road isn't something that's incredibly onerous or expensive on the homeowners.
Okay. Mr. Pagliarini, do we have an idea, when you said every affected homeowner has to sign off, about how many that is?
17.
17. Okay. Thank you. All right, we have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion carries, and we'll move forward on that. Item number seven, review of the Wilden Street streetscape improvement concepts. And again, these are concepts. This is not a final drawing or final proposal. This is the start. This is not the end.
Absolutely, Mayor.
Okay.
I think some of the previous speakers soloed my thunder, but that must have almost could have written my memo for me. But anyway, I have provided you a good bit of information on the intent of this. And I want to provide a little context around that, because other than these concepts, there's been more hard engineering done. We really wanted to come to the committee then to explain the purpose of what we're proposing, as well as just so information can get out and understand that this is not designed. We have had a lot of discussion over the last, well, my entire time here probably, but particularly last 10 or 15 years about traffic calming in the old village, and you've heard some folks mention kind of our approach on that. This does dovetail into that discussion. You also realize we have a safety action plan that the town has adopted, as well as we received a $15 million grant based upon that safety action plan. So all of this kind of runs together with the previous efforts for traffic calming. We have speed humps in the area, the entrances to our, and the main entrances to the old village. We have radar feedback signs, et cetera. So I have provided a memo on this issue. It does provide just really concepts for three intersections, those being at Hibben and Wilden, Morrison and Wilden, and then Venning and Wilden, which is probably Royal at that point. But so the intent here is really to address a lot of the things, most of the things that you heard mentioned earlier. And that is really kind of the unorganized nature of the entrance to Wilden, as well as its transition from kind of a commercial area into a residential area. So we feel that it's very important to really kind of rethink that area. There's been a lot of discussion over the intersection to Hibben, and we've had many complaints and concerns over intersection site distance, and we have a crash analysis of that location. We've talked a little bit about four-way stops in the past. But I think this is an opportunity to really comprehensively address the street from Coleman all the way to Denning in a comprehensive manner. Sidewalks, on-street parking defined, pedestrian bump outs where we pull the pedestrian closer to the intersection so they have a shorter distance to pass or to cross, and they're more visible to the vehicles. And we can work in LID. We talked a little bit about low impact development type of things for the drainage. We also have our Edwards Basin drainage project that's ongoing, and that does overlap a bit of this area. And so there's a lot of opportunities here to really look at and rethink this corridor. And we just wanted to make you aware of it and give you some ideas. Next steps would be that we would fully engage in a public process to receive feedback, just like you heard today, and then start really developing a plan. So that's the context of this concept.
Great. Is there something to put up on the screen for this?
So these are the concepts that we have from our consultant, and it shows all the things I kind of talked about: organizing the parking, creating the pedestrian bump outs and safer crossings where they're more recognized. You know, we could be considering RRFBs here, the high intensity flashers at this location and others. We may need to rethink based upon, if we did, for instance, a raised pedestrian crossing at a location where our speed humps are. So, you know, the whole scheme could maybe change, but it's really all in the concern for addressing pedestrian safety, in the sense that we want to get the speeds down as they enter the old village. And that has happened through some of our efforts, speed humps and the radar feedback signs. But once again, these are just concepts, more delineation, higher visibility, pedestrian crossing, sidewalks, and down at Morrison Street, you can see where that's where we overlap Edwards Basin, where some of that work could be done within the drainage project if we can coordinate the design quick enough. And this is not final. This is only our
suggestions. Right. We haven't even started the public input.
That's okay. Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Chapman?
Having been the person who brought residential parking to Charleston, have you thought about doing any ideas about residential parking in this area, which is probably one of the most commercial versus residential in town? And one of the issues with residential parking, if it's ever created, is to make sure that the residents understand that visitors to their houses or their neighborhoods could be impacted with residential parking, not just the commercial businesses that are in the area, but having residents, visitors impacted maybe is something they may not want. So it's not as easy as just creating a residential district. It's getting buy-in from all of the residents with what the impacts are to them as well. So I just throw that out here because I heard that brought up.
We had a study done a few years ago, and I can't remember how many years ago it's been now, and the recommendation came back that after feedback and everything, it was not workable then.
Yes, sir. That was the concern. Many of the things that Mr. Chapman just said, and I think it was 2019. It's been 5 years. Okay. But I'll be happy to kind of get that report back in your hands.
Yeah, take a look at that report.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And
get a look at
it. You know, there may have been enough change with the hotel coming in and the activities there that they're willing to accept that impact. But I just bring that out there because I know some of the comments during public comment was that might be a panacea to solve all the problems. Right. And it is not. But it might be sufficient in terms of the commercial activities being created there that they're willing to accept that.
I certainly think it needs to be a facet of our discussion on this whole concept.
Yes, sir. Question. Mr. Morrison, can you explain a little bit more about the criteria involved to make that a four-way stop at Hibben and Wilden?
Yes, sir. There are warrants, just like we have for traffic signals, meaning you have to see certain volumes or crash activity or these types of things to warrant a full four-way stop, just like a signal. And it could be either 8. I heard 8. I can't recall. I haven't done a warrant study in a good while, but it's required by state law, federal and state law, and this is a state facility. So that was the mention about the DOT. It's their road, so they have the authority to say what you can and can't do. So with that being said, I will say that the part of this discussion in the concept also, and we talked about this, James has, is to look at the influence of additional land uses coming online there, and that would be the hotel, right, and what that would mean to a warrant study, and how we can make that, maybe there's a pedestrian warrant that we can lean on to say, we really think this needs to be an all-way stop at this location. So those will be part of the conversations about the concepts.
Okay. Yeah, I would ask you to try to prioritize that if you're able to, because I've heard similar concerns outside of this meeting regarding that intersection. And I think that we need to be moving towards a four-way stop, irrespective of the rest of the project, and maybe on a totally different time frame. I think there's a lot of potential to Wilden Street. If you look at it as it exists today, it's wide and it's straight, and it might as well be a drag strip right off of Coleman Boulevard. I think if you look at the sidewalks, you see, as the residents have noted, there's a patchwork of existing sidewalks of varying levels, as well as some places where it ends, and you're walking on the grass. It's an important gateway to the town, and I'd like to see it get the attention it deserves. So I think you're on the right track with this, and I don't know if it's appropriate to make a motion at this time, or if we need a motion.
It only says review. Okay. Unless there's some stopping point or whatever, we're good, because this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. So
we just wanted to make sure that the committee was comfortable moving forward, and that's what we'll do this time.
Right. And could we also get the crash data for those intersections right there? And I just want to say that hotel was not approved by council when it came up for a vote. It went to a lawsuit, and a settlement was approved. And that was a long, hard slog. And it cost me personally. I was sued personally for fighting that. And if this is not the kind of thing that the town just approved, and this is one reason why, and we need to be very careful as we move forward. Just because we get sued does not mean we have to settle. And I have no regrets of that battle or being sued, because now we're dealing with the consequences of that. So just had to get my two cents in. that concludes item 7. Item 8 is update on ongoing projects. And in the interest of time, where are we?
We're all right.
We got a few minutes.
I'll try to be brief. Okay. Patriots Point, I'll try to keep up my slides. A lot of activity in Patriots Point at this point in time. Really, most of our drainage is in the ground, which is the hardest part. And we're really doing surface work at this point. So we still have some drainage on McGrath Darby. But anyway, you can see it shaping up. Right now, we're awaiting a final schedule from our contractor. He has until November, but he's feeling right now he's way ahead of that, and probably in the July timeframe we'll see substantial completion. Billy Swales Boulevard, Mayor, you know that we just received another $6 million from CHATS in regard to this project being fully funded at this point. So we're still in permitting. Right-of-way is essentially done, and it's not in the critical path, really, permitting is, and we're trying to work very closely with DNR at this point to work through that last little bit. So the DOT is really positioned through their evaluation of our plans as well as our bid package to, as soon as we get final permitting, it'll should fall pretty quickly. And next month, I'll have a better schedule as far as what you can actually see as a schedule. Okay. Maritime Port District, we're waiting on signal installation. Foundations are going in. All-American Boulevard is, bids are due, when is the 7th? That's this Thursday? Bids are due this Thursday, I think. So we'll find out where we stand on that project.
It's been a long time coming, but it'll be good to see that.
Yes, sir. And here's some, I don't know how James got these. I guess it was our a drone, but these are the after pictures of the US 17 Mathis Ferry intersection. You can see where we've extended the northbound left turn line over to the right, and the overhead on the left really shows the extension of the Mathis Ferry, a lot more storage in that location, as well as a yield condition for the right turn off 17 onto Mathis Ferry. So, very good project, already seeing results.
Mayor,
yes.
Could we stop on that project?
Yes, sir.
That's a big improvement, and we required Indigo, when it was approved as part of the Planning Commission, to give us funding to help do some of these things. Was that funding used for this project?
I believe it was, along with any funding from that project, as well as the school district.
Good.
For Lucy Beckham.
Great. And my only request is that enforcement be improved for the no U-turn sign coming out of CVS. When that CVS went in there, I was very apprehensive about what would happen with that access onto Mathis Ferry Road. And I'd just like to request some better enforcement of the no U-turn coming out of CVS for people to get back to 17, because there's access coming out of CVS to get on to 17, and that people need to use it because it's a traffic hazard with them making that U-turn.
Okay.
Last two projects, Shin Creek Bridge Pipelines, rebuilding. We bid once, didn't get any bidders. We're rebidding it again. We've talked to several contractors. We'll see what we get. A good project to get bike lanes across Shin Creek.
What's
Bridge.
The range of, you know, cost estimate?
We estimated around $1 million.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And the last project I'll mention is the SC-41 interim improvements, and those will have a notice to proceed May 1.
Yeah.
So they'll start at 17. And 41, do those intersection improvements first, and then come back to Joe Rouse.
Great.
So,
wow.
before the end of summer, we should see that project completed. That's it, Mayor.
Any questions or comments before we adjourn? All right, there being nothing else, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.